Good morning. Well, I thought today we would take up the theme, no thinker, no doer. So I thought we'd talk this over because it is a most unlikely truth, but a truth it is. And a truth we must come into an understanding and a living of it. Okay. So there is no you to be a thinker, and there is no you to be a doer, and there is no you to be a knower of that. Truth just is. Okay. So follow a deep breath as it enters the body, relaxing into the breath, and then follow the breath leaving the body. You are doing this as awareness, aware of a breath coming in, aware of relaxing into a breath, and aware of following a breath, leaving the body. And again, follow the breath and rest back into the reality that all that you seem to think and all that you seem to do has never been done by you. So let's take a moment now and look for the you who is the thinker and the doer. Who is it that does the thinking? And who is it that does the doing? So we can ask, where do thoughts come from? That is an interesting contemplation. Where do thoughts actually come from? Mostly, we presume that the thoughts somehow come from a me, and that many of the thoughts are about a me. But have you ever contemplated actually where do they come from? And then we also ask, what is it that animates the body? What is it that actually brings this arm and hand to rise up? Or what is it that rises the body to go to another location? or what brings the body to rest. I know it seems strange sometimes, but it's like we really need to look at what we're not in order to lift the veil that may yet be covering for you what you are. So we're looking at what we are not. We're looking for a thinker. And we are looking for a doer. It seems through all of our conditioning and all of our time here on this planet that, of course, I'm the thinker. I hear these thoughts. And sometimes in hearing these thoughts, I take action on the thoughts and the body moves or the body does some kind of activity. But what is going on right at this very moment that may be missing, that you might be missing in trying to find the one that is thinking or find the one that is doing, is that right now there is an awareness. And there is an awareness of thoughts. And the thinking about where do they come from.
The infinite way. Joel has shared the truth with us. The truth that there is but one universe.
Alice? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So right now, you are in awareness. That there is a contemplation taking place. There is something going on. And you're calling it thinking. You're using thinking to find a thinker. But you are aware of the thoughts that are rising. You are aware of this activity that we call thinking. In order to find the one that is thinking. So as awareness, there is, you are aware of this stream of thoughts passing by. You are aware of the connectedness of them. They seem to logically go together because we are trying to find the one that is thinking. So we are in an awareness of thoughts. Can you all see that at this moment? We are all in awareness of the thoughts that we are trying to use to find the one that is thinking. Let's do that again. We are here in awareness Using thoughts and using thinking in an attempt to find the one that is thinking. Just go back to awareness. We are in awareness of thoughts flowing. We are in awareness of thoughts flowing. As mind connects them together in seeming cohesiveness for one subject, as mind links them together, we are given this illusion that thinking, that we are thinking. Go back to awareness. You are aware of thoughts threaded together. And mind habitually calls that thinking. But have you found the one that is thinking? You are aware of thoughts. Now take that into doing. The body rises. Body walks down the street. Body goes cutting the lawn. Body goes shopping. Body goes preparing meals. Body goes cleaning. And again, the thoughts rise. Quite often it might be, I need to prepare dinner, or I need to get some groceries in, or I have to start that load of laundry, or now I need to put that laundry into the dryer. So the chain of thoughts that rise with I give us the illusion that there is an I, a me, that is present and doing. But can we find that me that is present and doing? Can we find that me that does not have a body and that does not have a mind and that is thinking and doing? Or is the thinking and doing a supposition of mind, because there is a body present? Is the assumption that the body is the doer, and since me is here in this body or with this body, then it is me that is doing the doing, and me That is doing the thinking. If the body were not present, would there still be doing? There still be thinking? Or is doing and thinking really truly a perception of mind? When we look for the thinker, or when we look for the doer, what you're attempting to find is me. Me, the person. The person, that individual personal self that is thinking personal thoughts. Or the me that is activating the body for personal things to do. So where is this me? Where is me that is thinking? And where is me that is doing? So if you step back, just a half a step, so to speak, and look clearly. Is there a me thinking, or am I just being aware of thoughts flowing? Is there a me that is doing all the actions and activities that this body does in the day? Or am I aware of a body doing these actions and activities through the day? Now, given that we are neither the body nor the mind, it might be quite easy to figure out which one of those scenarios we truly are. But you have to see clearly that the presumption of this illusion of there being a thinker, and the presumption of the illusion that there being a doer, is just that. Presumptions, conditioning. When you maintain the illusion, I am the thinker, I am the doer, you stay in that place of the conceptual idea of separation. Not only in the illusion of being separate from what we call others, but in the illusion of being separate from self. The presence, the God that you are, that is the presence, that is your oneness. That is your reality of the oneness that you are. So when we do not take these moments to sit down and question, am I really a thinker? Am I really a doer? It is so strongly ingrained in our beliefs. That, yes, of course I am. I can name you a million things that I have done over the years, and now in knowing not one of them would be true. I have never done anything. You have never done anything. You've never done anything. You have been aware your entire journey on this earth and have not yet recognized that that's what it is. I am aware. I'm aware of thoughts. I'm aware of the body and its actions. To actually be the doer, you would have to be in a place of doing, making the heart beat. You would have to be in the place of doing that breath so that it comes and goes even during sleep. To be the doer, you would have to take it all, not just, I need to go do the laundry, or I need to go make a phone call. You need to be the all 100% doer. Okay? You have to do the heartbeat. You have to do the breathing. You have to decide and design when the digestive system is going to function, because you would have to be the doer of it all. Not just the doer as in the activities of the body. Because that's what you're presuming when you're saying, I am the doer. I am the doer of the activities of this body. So the thinking, what appears as thinking, are the thoughts that are flowing in a sequence . And then there is the presumption, I'm thinking. Even when there are just random thoughts that just seem to pop in and pop out. Oh, what was that thought I just had? Came and went so quickly, it wasn't quite recognized. But you were aware of it. You were aware of a thought coming in quickly and leaving quickly, that you couldn't catch what it was quite about. And with the body, you're aware of the heart beating. But you're not the doer of it. You are aware of digestive systems working. You are aware of breathing. For the most part, we're not aware of walking. It's just a habit thing, up, down, walk, this room, that room. Most often, we're not aware of bodily activities unless they're causing some kind of a discomfort. Then we're quite aware of the knees, the legs, the back, the arm, the whatever. But it is still awareness. Has anyone found the doer yet? Has anyone found the thinker yet? Or is it still an awareness of a stream of thoughts? Now, all thoughts rise up in consciousness. It is only through our ignorance that we claim certain thoughts to be personally mine. This is about me. This is my thought. This is my thinking. But all thoughts, and I use this, that thoughts just bubble up in consciousness like bubbles in champagne. They are not designated for you. They are not designated to come to me, because there is no me. There is no you. There is just awareness of thoughts rising and flowing. It is in ignorance that we take the thoughts as something personal. Then we get ourselves in trouble by having bad thoughts about others. And then the little character has a little shift when we think we're having good thoughts, godly thoughts, or we're having happy thoughts and joyful thoughts. So we stay in this teeter-totter of duality as we, in our ignorance, stay in the assumption that I am thinking. And it is the same with the doer. We remain in that place of the concept. We remain in the concept of separation as we hold to an identity that is doing. Excuse me. My identity, myself, me, is doing. I do the cleaning, I do the cooking, I do this, I do that. Only because the body is moving, we are claiming the body to be myself. So therefore, we use the terms, I am doing. Okay. So as you look at this, with a deeper intention, you can begin to see quite clearly that if there is no person, there can be no doer. And if there seems to be a person, then I must be functioning in the concept of separation. To look more deeply at the body, at the mind, and come to the experience, not just the words, not just the speaking about it, but come to the actual experience within, that these thoughts are not my thoughts, that I am the presence. I am not a thinker. The I that I am is not a doer. The I that I am is not the thinker. I am aware of the activities. I am aware of the thoughts. But what I am not is what I am aware of. You cannot be what you are aware of. And I am aware of thoughts. And I am aware of the body. And I am aware of the actions of the body. I'm aware of the actions of thoughts. Remember when we started, said we will talk today about something that is seemingly an impossible truth? But coming to that level of knowingness, I am not the body. I cannot be the body, because what I am is formless eternal and immortal. And I cannot be the mind and the thinking, because what I am is beyond every thought. I cannot be in a thought. I cannot be enclosed in a mind. Nor can I be enclosed within a body. I am beyond body. I am beyond mind. So we take the time in our practices, in that stillness, to recognize, why am I not the body? And why I am not the thinking, the thinker of thoughts? So as you're looking at these more closely, more deeply, it is so clear to see that as we live in a concept of separation, as we live in the concepts of being a doer or being a thinker, therein lies our own suffering. Have you ever experienced suffering without thoughts? Without thinking? No. So, has anyone found the doer yet? Or have you found the one that is thinking? There's something mind doesn't really care about hearing. And what it doesn't really care to hear is that it is all just happening. There is no causation. It is just happening in this now moment. It's just taking place. When we give thoughts and activities to the mind, it will write the stories to go with them. I shouldn't have done that. I should have done that. What was I thinking? Ah, ha, ha, this over there, this over there, that over there. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have been unkind. I should have been more appreciative. Have you ever had a suffering where you were not thinking, or you were not claiming thoughts to be yours personally? So take that step back again into the realization, I am aware of this flowing of thoughts, but God is not the thinker. and I am aware of the activities and movements of this body. I'm not the doer. So when we come down to it, when we do our contemplations, when we do that introspection, when we do the inquiry, who am I? Or what am I? Or even the inquiry, what is God? We will find there is no thinker there, and there is no doer there. There is just presence. Being, presence, aware. Okay. All right. Let's have some comments. Let's get any of our confusion, or get any of our out here, so we can take a look at this more closely, maybe a little more deeply.
All right. Mary, it's Kate. Good morning.
Good morning, love.
I had a very interesting experience this morning. When I woke up, there were no thoughts. And I laid there and I noticed that there were no thoughts. And then they came. So what else is new, right?
Yeah, they will come. Thoughts will come.
So they came.
Yeah.
But what I noticed was how I grabbed them. It was like almost like a magnet. It was like I felt the thoughts. There was a feeling with the thoughts.
Okay.
And that was like me. In my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not just thoughts floating by, but there's a grabbing them. There's a claiming them.
Yeah. Personalizing.
And,
yeah.
And there's an energy with it.
Yes.
Or a feeling. So that's what I think is me.
Right. Right.
It's like I'm this little entity or something.
Well, in a way, that is right. You are the field of infinite energy and vibration,
mm-hmm.
not a little thing. You're the wholeness of it, whatever is. You are the wholeness of that. Yeah, but that's not unusual, because we are so conditioned to claim the thoughts and then judge the thoughts and go through that whole gyration of.
Yeah.
Why am I thinking this crap all over again? And, you know, why? You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
So the place to be is take that step back. I'm aware of the thoughts.
That was what
but was. But awareness is without judgment.
It allows it, doesn't it?
It allows those thoughts to come, and it allows them to go.
Yes.
The reason they don't go is for what exactly you were saying.
Yeah.
Claim them as your personal possessions.
Wow.
And then that energy holds them to you in that energy field. Okay. So they're held there. How are they released? Well, they're released by you beginning to understand that these thoughts are not my thoughts. I'm aware of them. I'm very aware of the thoughts that have risen up, but I no longer claim them as my personal, personal thoughts. And you do that with love and understanding and compassion, because what does that do? That understanding raises that energy so that those thoughts are no longer gripped in this energy, because you have now come to this energy. So there's no place for those thoughts to stay. There's no vibration meeting them at their level to magnetize them into this play. You have recognized, I'm not them. I am the awareness of them, and I allow them to be or not to be.
But as soon as I judge,
the judging stays at that energy. And they will stay. They will stay. They will stay. That is like your attention. And they like the attention, so they stay. So when you begin to recognize that these are not my thoughts, I am the presence of awareness that is aware of the thoughts, and I allow them, or not even allow, it's just, if they stay, it's okay. If they don't stay, it's okay.
Yes.
But then you leave them alone. And if you can sit quietly, you will just watch them fade.
Wow.
And then one might come back and smack you just as a test.
Right.
And then it's the same thing. Whoa. I'm aware of that one, you know, and that's okay. You can stay or you can go. All is well, you know.
This has been so helpful, Mary. It's like you dissected something, and that dissection really is so helpful. Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
Really.
Great.
Gratitude, really.
Wow. Okay.
Yes,
Mary.
Yes.
Yeah. We know God or infinite presence mm-hmm. is the only activity and is the only presence.
Yes.
Yeah. So this thought, where are they coming from?
Okay. They are coming from within the same place as all objects come from, the vibrational field of consciousness. They rise up within consciousness. It is by somehow in this field of energy, it's like Kate said, magnetic, and we are magnetic by this vibration that we emanate. So if we're emanating this vibration of believing the thoughts and living the thoughts and judging the thoughts, then they seem to stay in a personal picture with us. But as part of our spiritual growth, as part of our spiritual maturity, we are to see these thoughts as just thoughts. They just rise. And it is my position in maturing to not touch the thoughts, to recognize thoughts are just thoughts. They have no presence and no power until I seemingly say that they do. And I seemingly say that they do have a power by claiming them to be personally mine. And I attach them to me in that manner, so to speak. So they do rise up in consciousness, like those champagne bubbles in a glass. But again, in our spiritual inquiry and our spiritual maturing, we must come into the recognition that these are just thoughts and nothing more. It's when you allow the more thoughts to come in regards to the first thought that causes us a suffering or causes us a discomfort. But that's where they come from. There, it's all within consciousness. Yes.
Yeah, it's all in consciousness. And we know consciousness is God.
And I'm sorry, right? What was that?
Consciousness is God.
Yes.
Yeah. And if something is emanating from this consciousness, which we call God or the infinite presence, then I am thinking it shouldn't come to harm us.
Nothing because comes some to harm us.
Some of the thoughts that comes, they are not present to us. But we seem to attach ourselves to it, and at times it has effect on us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, then I don't know. Yes. Why do they come?
That is just the way they are. They're just there. They're there like the air is there, like trees are there, like ants.
So, excuse me. Yeah.
They're just there. Yeah.
So, is it an activity of God?
It is an activity of consciousness.
Consciousness.
Just like the trees outside your window, or the beetles on the ground, or the waves of the ocean, or the sunbeams of the sun. They're all activities in consciousness.
Activity in consciousness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thoughts are, yes, they're just rising in consciousness. You don't have to pay attention to them. We're not obligated to believe and accept the thoughts. There's no obligation to do that. Thoughts are just there. If you want to pick up one and say, oh, this is mine, and begin to play with it and cause yourself harm or cause yourself suffering, you know, that's just a sign of immaturity.
Okay.
But there's no rules or laws that says we have to acknowledge every thought and claim it as our own just because we are aware of it.
Okay.
They're just there. You know, it's like the clouds in the sky. They're just there, you know.
Okay. And my second question too is, my heart is beating.
Yes.
Yeah, my digestive system is working.
Yes.
What is functioning these organs?
This body form is a formation of the energy of consciousness. And it's still that consciousness that is the functioning of this activity. It's consciousness. Your organs are consciousness. Your heart is consciousness. Okay. The breathing apparatuses, that is all consciousness. And consciousness is always functioning. It's always present. So that's why we don't think about breathing, or we don't think about beating our heart, or we don't think about trying to make the digestive systems work. It's all that part of consciousness.
And if these are not functioning well, what do I do? Because I don't have control over it. And it's consciousness which is controlling all these things. So
it's not a controlling factor. It is a movement and an action of consciousness. It's not controlling or not controlling. It's just being a digestive system, whatever that entails, whether that digestive system is functioning or not functioning. Consciousness is still just being. So if it's not functioning, then consciousness presents itself as doctors or that which knows about more in detail the functioning, how it's to work. This is why we may use a doctor every now and again to help with the functioning of the form, because they're more in aware of how it functions on a biological level.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, love. Thank you.
Mary?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, love. We've all got 1,000 questions here.
That's good.
Well, then if God is controlling the functions of our body, how could they ever go wrong?
No, God is not controlling the functions of your body.
Consciousness is.
Consciousness and God are the same thing. Consciousness right. is not controlling the functions of the body. Consciousness is being. And it is being whatever it is being. And if it is functioning as you would call properly, or if it's functioning as you would call not properly, it is still consciousness that is present as being. See, we are so used to thinking that there is a right way for it to be and a wrong way for it to be. And that duality we need to release ourselves from, because being is neither right or wrong. Being is just being. It's just like a thought is just being a thought. It is when we give it over to our limited thinking that we ordain whether it's a good thought or a bad thought, when all along it's just a thought. So consciousness being the vibrations of the presence of those atoms that are making this form look like this form, it is just being.
Okay. I do have another question too.
Okay.
When I make a decision to turn left or right, am I not making that decision?
No. Gary is not making that decision. There is no Gary to make that decision. There is no personal entity or ego to make that decision.
But it turned out it was the right decision, we'll say, in a given case.
Well, that's because we are prone through the finite thinking to believe that there is a good decision and a bad decision.
More duality, right?
The finite, yes. I'll call it the finite mind, so to distinguish. So the finite mind is in that position of, oh, this is a good choice and that's a bad choice. And in that egoic state, it's always looking to have on one side of the ledger gains. Mm-hmm. And if it produces a gain of some nature, even if it's just a smile or a happy thought, it says that was a good decision. And if it doesn't provide a gain, then it was a bad decision. But all in all, it was just a happening to turning the car in that direction, and nothing else was intended whatsoever. The universe is always functioning at its highest level of unconditional love, or is always being that presence of unconditional love. So that's the only thing that is always happening, is this unconditional love. We mucky up the works by giving our life over to finite thinking in duality, rights and wrongs, goods and bads. And then we try to function at that level to make it good as opposed to having it be bad. So it's also the finite mind saying, or the character saying, that that was a good decision. No, it was just a movement of that auto from this position to this position. That's all that was happening.
Okay. Thank you again. I'll curtail my 1,000 questions at just those two.
Oh, no, you got another one. Go ahead.
Well, I was wondering about things occurring to us.
Who's the us you're speaking of?
Yeah, well, again, the only word I have there is me.
Right, right. So there is that presumption when we believe that we are the character that we have created, or that the I has created, or God has created. We believe we're the character instead of the presence that created the character. So in that characterhood, we have that sensation that you were speaking of. We go through the idea that we're making decisions and that things will happen to us or to me. Nothing has ever happened to you. Okay. Now, there has been an awareness, because you are the presence of awareness. You are God being. Okay. So in being awareness, you are aware of experiences and happenings, but none of those happenings ever happened to God or to awareness. They never happened to awareness, which you are. You've been aware of the happenings, but nothing has ever happened to you, God, awareness, consciousness. So it is the conditioned thinking, we'll call it conditioned thinking, that there is a me that is present for something good to happen to or something bad to happen to. That scenario does not exist. There is no me for something good to happen to or something bad to happen to. There is happenings that I am aware of. If I turn those over to the finite egoic mind, then that mind will begin its stream of judgment to see if there is a gain or a loss. And then I will go through the emotions, or I will be aware of the emotions, either upsettedness or joyfulness, whichever side the egoic mind decides to sway to. I will be aware of that, but I will not be those emotions. So again, it's this pulling back a step behind the body or to the side of the body and begin to understand that what takes place with the body or with the mind, that is not me. The mind and the body is not me. I'm awareness of the body. I'm aware of the mind and its thinking, but I am neither that. I'm neither one of those. I'm beyond those. That's why I can be aware of those, because I am beyond them. If I were the thought, I would not be aware of the thought. Or if I were the body is not aware of the body. Okay. The mind is not aware of the mind. So given that I can be an awareness of the body in the mind, it is already stating in that I am neither one of those, because I am aware of them.
Thank you, Mary.
Is that helpful?
I'll be contemplating that.
Okay. Yes, please do contemplate why you cannot be the body and why you cannot be the mind. you cannot be what you're aware of. That's so in that, when you say, well, I'm aware of anxiety, I'm aware of fear, I'm, instead of claiming it and saying, I am afraid or I am anxious, begin to recognize, I'm aware of a feeling of anxiety. I am aware of a feeling of fear. I'm aware of them. No matter how close they feel to being about a me, you have to step back and recognize, I'm aware of them. And then as you're aware of them, you're going to begin to feel those emotions and feelings just to fade away, because you're not claiming them, so they have no place to stay with you. Mm-hmm. It's when you claim them that they hang around, you know, and they invite their friends and the rest of their family, you know. Hey, we got one here, Joe. Come on in.
Got a live one.
Yeah, you're claiming them to be yours. So, of course, they feel like they're yours and about you, because the magnitude of your being is claiming them to be about me. You see what's being spoken? That when you claim them, you claim them. And that is why it feels like this is about me.
Hmm.
Okay, so let go of the claiming. Take that step. Take the breath. There's that red flag. Oh, these feelings, these emotions, these thoughts. No, 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 no. There's that red flag waving at you to say, slow down. Take a breath. Step back. Take a clearer look. Slow it down just a minute, you know. And as you take the breath, as you step back and you look more clearly from a place more quiet, they will just fade.
Okay, thanks again.
You're welcome. But this is what has to be seen. In order to recognize yourself as the presence of awareness, you have to take certain steps in especially in the beginning, to recognize that something is amiss. Okay? I am not intended to be anxious or fearful. Are suffering. It is not the naturalness of my being. Okay, so if I begin to claim I'm anxious, then that should be this red flag right in front of your eyes. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Slow down, take a breath. Take a breath. I'm aware of a fearful feeling. Don't give it to the mind to make a story out of the feeling. Just be aware of the feeling. Okay, I'm aware of the feeling. It's past. Feelings, emotions, and thoughts, they are like waves on the ocean. They'll rise up, trying maybe to capture your attention so that you'll play with it. But then if you don't, it just kind of flows back down. Now, it's not trying to capture your attention to cause you any harm or suffering. But it can be a great opportunity to let you know how well you're seeing when a red flag should be waving in front of you. Okay? So let them come. Let the opportunities come with loving attention. Let them come so you have that opportunity to see clearly. Take a breath. and be still. You need those opportunities for you to mature. You need them to awaken to the reality that is you. So you need those opportunities to be, but don't gloss them over with saying, oh, I'm afraid. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? That's the old way. We've been together too long. Okay, that old way is over. Okay. See them as the opportunities they are. That red flag waving, that's probably your bigger opportunities. Okay. So. I think by now you're full enough with things to contemplate and to ponder on for even a little while, even if it's over a cup of tea today. But so I think we will close this beautiful moment together. In loving thank you, and let us pray. Most beloved one, I rest in the reality I am. I rest as the pure awareness that I am. I rest as the infinite undifferentiated consciousness that I am. I rest as the life that I am. I rest in my oneness. Amen. Om. Namaste.